what can we do? What can we do? Well, here's something to help some young people at the high school over here, or the school over here. And it's providing a meal on the weekend for some of these children. They don't have food on the weekend, and they need help. I do want to encourage you, pick up one of these. If you can purchase one of these things, that's all right. And can they give money? Okay, give money. Big checks, a lot of zeros. Or just leave it blank and I'll fill it in, okay? But if you would, please look at this and help if you can to do that. It is a great thing, and we're given a great opportunity to be able to help in that, and we need to use that opportunity in every way. There are some outlines of the book of 2 Peter. We have been looking through the Bible and looking at just introducing books for about the last 3 years. We're getting down to about the last 5 books, and so we're going to be looking at those in the next few months, weeks. I've been trying to do one a month, if possible. But we're going to look at 2 Peter today. And the reason we're doing this on Sunday morning, if you don't come on Sunday night, I want you to know what you're missing, because you're missing a good thing. So come on Sunday night. We have a good time, enjoy ourselves, and I started to say we act right, but I don't want to go that far. But we're just thrilled that you're here today. And if you're a visitor, we appreciate you coming by and visiting with us. And we'll let you know that we love you and we care for you, and we want to do that. 2 old ladies were sitting at the nursing home, and they were sitting beside each other up front, and they could see the door as it would open. This guy came in, fixing to come into the nursing home as a patient there, or as a resident there, I guess I should say. They looked at him and said, punched that other one and said, "He's good looking." That other one said, "Yes, he is." And they looked at him and said, "Come over here." He walked over there. One of them said, "Where have you been all my life?" He said, "For the last 25 years I've been in prison for killing my wife." The other one said, "Oh, so you're not married." I thought about that one before I told it, you know. Got to have a little humor every once in a while, and it's good to laugh and enjoy yourself. The book of 2 Peter, turn there if you would. We're going to be staying mainly in that book and looking at it just a little bit. Peter is writing a letter. Peter thinks he's fixing to die, and he probably is. And if tradition has it correct, he did die after this. He died in Rome. He was crucified. He was hung upside down. I'm giving you what tradition says. I don't know. This is not in the Bible. But tradition says that he was hung upside down because he didn't feel like he deserved to be hung like Christ was hung, because he was not as good a person as Christ was. And so his life was taken because of his stance as far as the gospel is concerned, because of his preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel. He wanted people to know the truth of God. So in this second letter, he's writing this letter, and he's trying to say to these people here, "I'm about to die, and I know that." Sounds like 2 Timothy, where Paul talks about his cup is overrunning, and he's about to be offered like a drink offering on the altar. And both of these men saw the end of their life, they thought. They couldn't say for sure, but that's what they thought. Paul saw his coming up pretty fast. And somebody said, "Well, how did he write Titus after that?" Well, you know, the books of the Bible are not according to chronological order. If you want the chronological order in those books, you've got 1 Timothy, Titus, and then 2 Timothy is written. And so Paul is writing there saying, I'm about to die. Peter's writing the same thing. He said, "I'm about to leave this world, and I know that. I'm about to leave, and I'm not going to be here. What's going to happen now? What's going to happen when all the apostles leave? What's going to happen when all the apostles, Peter, James, and John, Matthew, and all of them, what's going to happen when all those fellows are gone? How's the church going to survive after that? Here's the leadership. What's going to happen after that?" We need to understand the leadership was not with the apostles, has never been with the apostles. The leadership is with God, and God's always going to be. God had provided a way so that people could be guided and could be taught. And we want to see this today. He provided the Word of God, that inspiration. And even though the apostles may be taken out of the way, we still have the Word of God. and we can still trust in the Word of God. We need to learn to continue to trust in God's Word no matter what. Now, you see, sometimes we want to lean on our own understanding. We want to lean on our own knowledge, but that's not going to help. You know, sometimes we figure we can figure a way out, but we've seen people in the Bible that have tried to figure a way out and doing God's will, and it usually ended up in a mess. What we've got to do is to understand how to solve, how to follow God's way by following God's Word. And he's warning some people here about false teachers that are going to be coming down the pike. They're going to be coming down there. They're going to be trying to lead people away. And he wants them to know, you've got to be careful about that. Now, false teachers was not the whole thing he was worried about. He was concerned about false teachers, and some people try to take this book and talk about it was just about false teachers. No, it was telling the people you need to stay near the book and you need to grow in your faith. All of us need to do that. All of us have that admonition for us to do that. Now, some people look at 2 Peter and say, well, it's not a canonical book. It's not a book that really should be in the New Testament because it hadn't been proven. Well, I think it has. I think one of the reasons many people don't like this book is because it was one that dealt with false teachers and was willing to say that. Now, we need to understand, they didn't had false teachers before this. They had false teachers at that time. We've got false teachers today. Somebody said, who are they? Anybody that teaches anything that's against the will of God. He talks here about how some of these people, they're going to go through and they're even going to deny that Jesus is the Christ, the one that saved you, the one that washed you, the one that cleansed you and helped you to become a part of his body and placed you in the kingdom of God. Now, we just get away from his message. We don't want it anymore. We don't want that anymore. We've got to understand how important it is that we have this. So what we're talking about today is a very important thing. It's very necessary for us to look at. Peter saw his day coming, but he was preparing for it. He was trying to help the people to prepare for it. It's like anybody. When you get older, you want to think about, okay, what can I do to help my family? What can I do to help them when they see that their life is going to, that my life is going to end? What's it going to do to the family? So you want to try to help people to understand how important that is. Then he goes on to talk about his concern for the false teachers that we just mentioned. And then Peter is wanting to remind Christians how to live the Christian life. Now I'm trying to get used to this iPad, so hold on tight. Technology is going to kill me dead, I'm telling you. But it's a great thing. It helps us a great deal. At least I can see this. Look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 12, if you would. 1 Peter 1 and verse 12. And I'm going to be reading out of the New Century. He says, you know these things, and you are very strong in the truth, but I will always help you remember these things. One of the things he wanted to do was help these people to remember what they already knew. I don't need to teach you anything new. Why should I? You know enough to be able to follow God's will. And if I bring something new, then I don't need to be here. It's simple. It's here. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You don't necessarily need me to tell you that you need to respond to the invitation when you sin. You don't need that. You already know that. My job is to encourage you to do what God's will wants you to do. Help you to encourage you to follow his will. You know that. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm not bringing you anything that's new or on the edge, but I'm bringing you things that you already know, and I'm just reminding you about that. That's all any preacher ever does. That's all we're doing in Bible class is reminding ourselves of what God wants us to do. I think it's right for me to help you to remember as long as I am in this body. He said, as long as I'm living, I'm gonna cause you to remember that. I'm not going to let you forget it. In other words, I'm going to nag you about this, boys. You're going to know that what this is, and you're going to know that I'm going to encourage you to do what's right and to follow what's right. Verse 14, I know I must soon leave this body. I know I'm fixing to die. As our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me, I will try my best so that you may be able to remember these things even after I'm gone. He said, I want to leave you a legacy. I want to leave you a legacy of someone that is following the Bible, following God's Word, and doing God's will. And I want you to know what you're supposed to do about that. I want you to recognize how important it is. Now, that's what we've got to do. Brethren, I want to encourage you. Study the Word of God. Find out what it has to say. And do what you know you need to do. Don't have somebody just to shove you all the time. Don't have somebody just to nag you all the time about that. But do what you know is right. That's all we're supposed to do. That's all we can do. Is to do what we know is right. And that this is what he's trying to do in this book. He's trying to help people to understand that. Now, look at this. I want you to see the emphasis that he's trying to place on these things. The emphasis he's trying to put within the Word of God. Be sure of your salvation. He wants us to know that. You know, many times in the church, and it's not as much as it used to be, you'd ask somebody, are you saved? And they'd say, well, I hope I am. Let me tell you something. If you hope you are, you need to be reading the book. Because it tells you what to do to be saved. And if you're doing that, you're saved. Is that hard to understand? If we're doing what God tells us to do, then we're a saved person. But see, we fall back and say, well, you know, I'm not perfect. Listen, nobody ever has been except one, and they hung him on a tree and put him to death, they thought, but it didn't work. Listen, you're not perfect, I'm not perfect. God understands that. God recognizes that, and God wants us to understand the way we need to live, how we need to conduct our lives, and that's what he's trying to get across to us. That's what he wants us to understand. Turn with me, if you would, to the first chapter, verses 4 and 5. Listen to what he said here, and we're going to go down through about verse 11 here. Because you have these things, do the best to add these things to your lives. Okay? He's saying, you need to add some things to your life. You become a Christian. Okay? That's one thing. But you've got to grow in that. Look at what he says here. Add these things. Add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to your self-control add patience, and to your patience add service for God. Verse 7, and to your service to God all kindness, add kindness for your brothers and sisters in Christ, and to this kindness add love. He's telling us some things that we need to be adding in our lives. You say, well, I'm good with that love part, but I'm not real good with that kindness part. Well, improve on it. That's what he's trying to get us to do, to improve. Nobody's perfect in this. Nobody knows how to do all of this, but we know how to improve on these things. You're not where you need to be, and you never will, because you're growing. And you're growing and you're growing. Look as he goes on here in verse 8. He says, in all these things, if all these things are in you and are growing, if they're in you and these things are growing, they will help you to be useful and productive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if these things are in you, you're growing. That's all God asks us to do, to grow. Now, we're getting to the time where you plant plants and all this. If you're like me, brown is my color when it comes to plants. That's just the way it is all the time. I told somebody, I said, even my plastic plants are turning brown. They said, dust them. And I'm going, okay, you know, another thing to take care of. Fertilizer doesn't work on them. I've tried that, if they're plastic. But he's trying to say here, I want you to grow. Some plants, when you plant them, if you notice, they'll be right beside each other. One will be down here, another will be up here. They grow at different levels. Brethren, we're going to grow at different levels. You may grow a lot faster, a lot better than I am. I may grow better than you. That doesn't make any difference. God said it doesn't make any difference how fast you're growing, but that you are growing. And we've got to understand that. That's the way we have our faith and our trust in God and our knowledge. We depend upon God. He said, if you're growing, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. I want you to know that. But anyone who does not have these things cannot see clearly. You can't see where you're going. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever closed your eyes and tried to walk around? You can't see anything. He says, open up your eyes and grow up. Open up your eyes and grow up so that you'll know the right way to go. He is blind and has forgotten that he was made clean from his past sins. Understand, if you've done what Jesus Christ has told you to do to make your life clean with God, then you are clean. God said it, God does it, and it's over with. What we got to do is we got to believe it. That's the hard part for us. Trusting in God, depending upon God for what He says He will do for us. That's what we've got to do. Now, listen to what He says here. My brothers and sisters, verse 10, try hard to be certain that you really are called and chosen by God. Make sure that you're a person that you're going to hear what God has to say. The calling here is do the will of God. That's the calling. Are you listening to what God tells you to do? Do you read what He says to do within His Word? And you're going to be doing that Word? You're going to be following that? That's what He's saying. That's the calling that's there. That's a calling for every one of us. And we've got to have that. And you will be given a very great, not just a very great welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're growing, doesn't mention how far you're growing, as to where you're growing, but if you're growing, you have the power to be in the kingdom of God. You have the power to be a part of God's kingdom. And it's a very great thing for us to be able to have that. You see, we're judging by each other. We don't need to do that. I don't need to look at you and see where you are in your spiritual life and then look at me and say, well, he's up here and I'm down here, or he's down here and I'm up here. Forget that. Don't do that. It's wrong to do that. Be grateful that the person is striving to do the will of God and help them as they're trying to do it. That's a part of this growing in the faith. That's a part of what we need to do. And that's a part of what He wants us to do, is to grow in the faith and be a part of that. We have that very great welcome into the kingdom, into the church, into the heavens, into heaven. That's what He's talking about. That's what He wants us to have. That's what He's trying to get us to have in our life. But then He goes on and says here, and I'm just mentioning a few things through this book to get you hopefully interested in reading it. It won't take long to read it, just 3 chapters. The next point He makes here, I think, is don't be led astray. Now, look at chapter 2, if you would. And in chapter 2, starting with verse 1, He said, there used to be false prophets among God's people. Okay, no big revelation. Everybody knew that. All right, now listen as He said, they and they're going to be among your group also. They're going to be among the church. They were false teachers in the past. They'll be false teachers today. They'll be false teachers in the future. The devil is not going to give up. He doesn't quit. He keeps His faith in winning people over to Him and causing people to be lost. He keeps His faith. And so what He's saying here, He wants us to understand the devil is strong and he's powerful. He has his angels, and his angels are working. They will secretly teach things that are wrong, teaching that will cause people to be lost. They will even refuse to accept the Master, Jesus Christ. They accepted Him when He taught them what to do to become a Christian, but now they've outgrown Jesus Christ. They don't need Him anymore. They know how they need to live. Let me tell you something. Don't trust in that. Trust in finding out what the Bible has to say and how we need to live our lives. They will even not accept and refuse to accept the Master Jesus Christ, who bought them from their freedom, who paid the price for them. So they will bring quick ruin to themselves. Now, remember the passage in the Gospels? If the blind follows the blind, what's going to happen to them? They're going to fall into a ditch. Let me tell you something. If here, those people that are leading people astray, if they're going to face a destruction, what's going to happen to us if we follow them? We're going to face the same destruction. And we don't need that. What we need is that forgiveness of our sins, that blotting out of those things there. Jesus Christ, He has purchased us. He's made us. He's given us this thing. Verse 2, many will follow their evil ways and say evil things about the way of truth. They're going to be denying the way of truth. Those false teachers only want your money. That's what they're looking for. They're looking to gain something from you, your money, a power over you. That's what they want. He says, don't give them that. Only give it to Jesus Christ. Only give it to God. That's it. Only give it to the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's what we've got to do. And so He here wants these people to understand that their judgment is spoken against them long ago. He talked about this a long time ago. And it hadn't changed. It's still there. And the judgment is going to be called against people. It's coming. And their ruin is certain. All right, now He starts here. And He wants us to understand how bad this thing is. He starts talking about some people that they have sinned. And He starts helping us to understand what happened to them. He first starts talking about some angels. Here's some angels that they didn't want to do God's will. They didn't want to follow what God had to say. Verse 4. Here's these angels. God did not let them go free without punishment. Well, now, wait a minute. If God's going to judge angels, what's He going to do with Charles? He's going to judge me. And so here, the angels are going to be judged. Did He let them by? No, He didn't. Is He going to let me by? No, He's not. And then He goes on and gives another example there. He talks about Noah and the people of his time. But God saved Noah, who preached about being right with God and seven other people with him. And God also destroyed the evil city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Here, God destroyed the whole world, basically, except for seven. Why did He save those seven? Because they were those that were striving to do His will. Were they perfect people? Did they always do everything right? No, they did not. Are you going to always do everything right? No, you are not. But that does not knock you out of heaven. If you're that person that's growing and learning and you are able to repent of your sins, you're able to say to God, I'm sorry, God, I did things that were wrong, and I want to live right. Or maybe even say to people around you, I'm sorry, I did wrong. I didn't live right. Please forgive me. And then you go on serving God. Let me tell you something. Every time you repent, God will forgive. He'll forgive it every time you repent. He's going to be willing to do that. Then He goes on to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. Here's Sodom and Gomorrah. Here's a whole city. Now, He destroyed the whole world. He destroyed the whole city. These are examples that He's giving to show people that if you stay in sin, this is what's going to happen to you. He's not just talking to those people today, but He's warning us today too. You see, we are living in the last what? Days. What does that mean? I mean, there's going to be an end to this thing. It's going to be an end. So we need to be prepared for that. We need to be ready for that. So He's giving the warning here and trying to tell people, you be careful about this. Don't let this destroy you. And then in chapter 3, He says basically, Jesus is coming back. All right, now, if the Lord's coming back, what do we need to do? We need to prepare for it. We need to be ready for it. When you start talking about the judgment, most Christians get kind of skittish about that. They get kind of scared because they're afraid. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Let me tell you something. No, you're going to make it. Act like you're going to make it. Live like you're going to make it. And do what God's will tells you to do. That's what we've got to do. Listen as He starts in chapter 3 here. He says, my friend, this is the second letter I have written to you to help you to have this honest mind to cause you to remember. I want you to know that. I want you to think about the words the holy prophet spoke in the past. Think about what those fellas said. God's will is going to be obeyed. You need to be willing to follow the will of God. You need to be willing to do the will of God. You need to be willing to do that. Now skip down, if you would, to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The skies will be disappear with a loud noise. Everything in them will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be exposed. Okay, now somebody says, how's it going to be? What's it going to be? Is it going to be a lot of fires? Is it going to be volcanoes? Is it going to be all that? I don't care. It makes no difference. Somebody's trying to think, is it because of a bomb going off and all that? Don't worry about it. He'll handle that part, and you'll have no control over it. If you knew that, what good would it do? None at all. What do you need to know about this? One, He's coming. Two, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to be ready for His coming. We need to be ready when He comes to this earth. I don't care what He does as far as the judgment. I don't care how He does all that. That's His business. That's not my business. When He's going to do it is not my business. My business is living it and serving Him and doing His will. That's what my business is. Everything in them will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be exposed. Okay? That's all gone. What do you have now? You have your service to God. In this way, everything will be destroyed. So what kind of person ought you to be? What kind of person should you be if you know that this world is going to be destroyed? How should you live your life? He's encouraging us to change our life. You should live holy lives and serve God. That's what you've got to do. That's what you got. As you wait for and you look forward, now looking forward to that, to the coming of the Lord's day, when that day comes, the skies will be destroyed with fire. Again, he goes back to this. How's it going to be? Is it going to be the air's going to blow? Who cares? Who cares? Am I right with God? That's the important thing. That's the thing I can change. That's the thing I need to be willing to change. But God made a promise to us, and we are waiting for a new heaven and a new earth. This world's going to be gone. This world's going to be destroyed. Okay. All right. Look at this. God has a dwelling place for that spirit of yours. He has a dwelling place that is so great and so wonderful, we can't even imagine how great it is. We can't even conceive of how wonderful it is. Then he starts talking about here, verse 14, he says, "Dear friends, since you're waiting for this to happen, do your best to be without sin and without fault." He said, you try to live the right kind of life. You try to live in the right kind of way. Verse 17, "Dear friends," two things he's trying to get across here. "Since you already know about this, be careful." You know this. You believe this. So be careful. Live your lives in that way so that you can get those things. Don't let those evil people lead you away by the wrong things that they're teaching. Don't allow them to do that. He says here, don't allow people to lead you away from God. Don't allow them or your own self or your own desires. Don't allow that. Then he says in verse 18, but grow in two things, in the grace of God. Now, sometimes the grace almost looks like it's talking about Jesus Christ. That is our grace. That is the thing that's given to us, that washes us, that cleanses us, that makes us whole. It is that mercy that God sent to us. And I'm going to say this is Jesus Christ here. This is that grace that He's given, and also that knowledge. You know, we need to grow in our knowledge of God's Word. Not just His Word, but in the knowledge of our service to God. Knowing something and doing it, that's two different things. He said, I want you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at how he ends this. But glory be to Him forever and forever. He said, listen, it's time to do something. I'm fixing to leave this world. What's going to happen? Well, does it have to have the apostles here to keep it going? No, it doesn't. The world can operate without them. Does it have to have God speaking to us in our ears to know what's right and wrong? Nope. We've got His Word written down. It's not going to change. It's written. It's there. It's solid. We can depend on it. Our problem is we got to follow it. We got to do what it says. And we know what it is. I don't need to tell you. You say, well, why do you keep talking? Let me go home and I can sleep. Well, like Peter, God said, remind people. Remind people, remind people. So when we stand before God, we won't be able to say, God, I didn't know anything. Oh no, ignorance is not an excuse. We've got to follow His will. What will God take? He'll take your life. You need to offer what you can. What's that? It's all you have. Don't worry about other people. Don't worry about how big they are, how little they are, how much they know, how much you don't know. That has nothing to do with it. You need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've got to be willing to do that. Now, the question of today is, are you growing in that grace? Are you growing in that knowledge? Do I need to tell you specifically about your sin? No, you know that sin that you've committed is wrong. You know you shouldn't do it. You know you need to repent of it. Okay? Do it. Do something about it. You may be sitting here and you haven't obeyed the gospel as far as what to do to become a Christian. Let me tell you something. I can tell you till both of us die, but it's not going to do any good until you decide that you want to do it. So decide. And understand that you've got to give an account to God for that. You don't have to give an account to me. You can fool me. You can tell me one thing and mean something else. It don't make any difference about that. But you've got to face God. And that's the ultimate thing that we need to be concerned with. Please, whatever we can do to help you to be a better Christian, to live the Christian life in a better way, we want to do that. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.